It looks like everyone's going to have to sit on the left-hand side. That's not a political statement at all. I think it's because most of the speakers will be speaking from the lectern, and they wanted to line us up right here in classroom style. But please find a seat. We want to get started because there's an awful lot to talk about this morning and just a little bit of time to do it. And we'll be talking more about the agenda in just a moment. But if we could get everyone to find a seat, we can get started. Looks like that some folks are breaking the line over here to sit on the right-hand side. And that looks like it's okay to do now if you'd like to do that. Folks, I'm Sandy Wilson. Richie Sessions and I are the pastors of Independent Presbyterian Church and Second Presbyterian Church, and we're thankful those two churches are sponsoring this meeting today. And the purpose of the meeting is that it was 50 years ago that some folks who were African-American and Caucasian sought to enter Second Presbyterian Church, and they were unable to do so, and it began a whole series of kneel-ins that were right out here on this front yard through 1964, the spring of 64, and then once again in the winter, late winter of 1965. And this event is painful to both Independent Presbyterian Church and Second Presbyterian Church for reasons that will are already obvious to you, and will be even more obvious as the morning goes on. But we wanted to commemorate this day, 50 years later. Even amidst the pain of such events as took place, because we think it's important and necessary that every generation of the followers of Jesus Christ learn from their forefathers. And if you had a mother and a father like I did, you have lots of good things to learn from them and to emulate. If you had a mother and a father like I did, you also have some things from your mother and father that you need to disagree with and be different from. And it's the duty of every Christian generation to have an accurate assessment of what's gone before them in previous generations as well as their own generation. So we will be doing all of that this morning. We'll be looking at the past, the 50-year past and before. We'll be looking at what's happened since then, and we'll be looking at where we believe we need to be going in the days ahead. We are so glad that you're here. Those of you who are members of Independent Presbyterian or Second Presbyterian, of course, we welcome you, but we have many guests here today, and we are so glad that you're here. Because the other purpose of commemorating such sad events is for two churches to be able to say to our community that that is not who we are. And we, long ago, have turned our backs on that kind of behavior and are moving forward in the future. And we want to continue to learn and to grow and to get better at being loving people who include folks from all around the world and certainly the different ethnic groups that God has blessed us with in our own city and our own nation. So that's the purpose for today. We're so glad that you're here. It'll be a great learning day. Larry Jensen will be talking more about it in just a moment. And let me just first of all, I ask that Richie Sessions come forward and lead us in prayer, and then we have a few more words of introduction, and then we'll get the show on the road. Richie, come on forward.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we have every reason to believe that you love a day like this, because you've come into this world to seek and save the lost, to bring about the peace and the prospering of your people and of this whole world. And by your death and your resurrection, you have drawn many to yourself, drawn us, all our backgrounds and different families and different personal histories and different races. And we know that it pleased you to make that the promise of your kingdom, that this is at the center of your heart. And so, Lord, I pray that as we speak today, that Jesus, you would be made famous in our hearts and our minds, and that this would be part of the ongoing conversation and the ongoing story of redemption and glory in this great city of Memphis. We thank you for the opportunity to talk about hard things. We thank you for all those that have, including Steve Haynes and others, that have really help tell this story. And Lord, I pray that the story would be clear. I pray that we would know how to repent and be given the grace to repent. and to continue a life of repentance for the sake of your kingdom and for the glory of your name. We ask it all in the name of Jesus, our King. Amen.
Thank you, Richie. The chairman of this event is Larry Jensen, and he has been helped by committee members Neil McAtee, Fred Flynn, Frank Jemison, and Dan Williams, and we're grateful to them for providing the logistics and arrangements along with some staff help for this event. So, Larry, we're going to ask that you come forward, Mr. Chairman, and lead us through this morning. We're grateful for your leadership.
Thanks. Thank you, Sandy. Good morning for the committee. We're eager for this day to come. I'm so thankful to see faces here that many of which I know. And our hope for this day is that that it really is a place where we can stop for a day and ask questions and think together and then look forward. And there's a lot here. If you do not have an agenda or this, please make sure you have one, because it really does kind of guide you through the morning. It's my job to keep people on time. You're going to see if I'm any good or not shortly. But you've got a number of people that will be speaking in a moment. Stephen Haynes will come up. I'll introduce him. And then Richie and I are going to talk about what's going on at the two churches in terms of today and what has happened over the last years. And then Michael Rhodes, one of our young men who grew up in this church, who's now at Advanced Memphis, Director of Education, and at the downtown church, will come and talk about current issues. And then we'll adjourn to the fellowship hall for a lunch. If you have made reservations, we'll let you know about that. There may be some open spaces if you have not. Let me start with a comment that where Lillian Hammond, or where are you? There she is. Raise your hand right there. This journey for me began a long time ago, as far back as 1968 when I was a 15-year-old, when Dr. King was killed. And I remember the moment. I remember the streets. I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. But there was a night, a dinner at Frank and Jean Jemison's house a few years ago. And it was a very nice evening, and Lillian and her husband George were there, and Jean and her hospitality seated us in a way that we were not necessarily next door to our spouse for that evening. And so Lillian was sitting there, and we were nice, and we had a little conversation, and she says, so where do you go to church? And I said, well, I go to Second Presbyterian. And if you read Stephen's book on page 161, there's a comment about somebody at the church that was at that. And Lillian looked at me after I said I went to Second, and she says, I went there once. And I sort of knew where this was headed at that moment. But I did ask her, I said, please tell me about that. And so we were at a table with a bunch of people, and we're in this sort of focused, intense conversation. And I left that dinner that night with a new friend, and Lily and I had become good friends. But I left that moment in what I call a personal mission. And it was not long after 9 a.m. on Monday morning that I called Sandy, and I said, Sandy, we got to do something about this. And so what do we do? So what we did is we began to try to find all the people that had been involved that we could find anywhere and everywhere. We spent I don't know how long. And then we had a series of meetings with these folks. And we talked about it, not personally, because neither Sandy and I were here, but institutionally, it was a problem. And there was an intersection for me of the personal and the institutional at that moment at Frank's house that night that really changed the course of my life. Because it caused me to start asking some questions that I had never really asked. In 1968, I could have cared less. But God in His sovereignty and in His work in our hearts, He calls us to rethink those things that we hold in ignorance often. So I began to wrestle with this, and we ended up, you know, convening with Maxine and Vasco and others that, and you got to know, growing up, Maxine was an anathema to me. And she became one of my good friends before too long. And it's all because of what happens when people have relationships. And I wonder in my own heart if what happened out front, out there, would have happened had there been relationships. And that to me is what the future is. And I'll talk about that when I come back up in a few minutes. So. But it's about relationships. It's about us loving and knowing each other. And Jesus said that they'll know you're my disciples by your love one for another. That's the only way they're going to know. And we're brothers and sisters in a city that is a diverse place. And so the call to me of the church is, how do we build relationships? We need to look back and we need to think about these things. We need to ask questions. We need to open up old hurts. We need to talk about them. But we also need to look forward. And what are we called to? What is it? This group of people right here could change this city. And that's what I think this is about. If you said, what's the outcome of this? Why am I here? Yeah, we're going to look back. And it's important to look. But looking forward, what is it? What do we walk out of here today with? That's the question to me. How do we go forward?